This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope that this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church.
There's a scripture that came on my heart this week. Came on my heart, and I said, well, I'm going to preach that scripture. It's Psalms 118, verse 24. This is what it says. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Somebody said, Pastor Benny, you having a good day? Oh, I'm having a great day. You say, well, why are you having a good day? Because let me tell you something. I made up my mind many years ago that I was going to have a good day today. I made up my mind many years ago that I was going to have a good day today, because this is the day that the Lord hath made, and I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Amen? Every day is a good day. If you don't believe that, just try skipping one of them. Every day is a good day. This is the day that the Lord hath made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. I want to take a little while. I'm not going to preach long, but I want to take just a little while, and I want to talk to you about the importance of every day. The importance of every day. I remember years ago getting up one morning and looking over at Barbara and saying, good morning. She said to me, good morning, Benny. And then she said, Benny, do you know what today is? And I began to think, well, is today our anniversary? I began to think, is today her birthday? I'll tell you how to always remember your wife's birthday. Just forget it one year. Amen? But I began to think about, what is today? Nevertheless, I went on to work and called a florist and said, I want you to send Barbara some flowers. They said, what's the occasion? I said, well, it's a special occasion. Like I said, send the flowers. And then I decided, there's a little boutique in Griffin, Georgia. We do most of our shopping there. The name of it, I think, is Walmart. I went in there, and I got her this beautiful yellow dress. And I took it home, and I said, Barbara, I really want you to dress up tonight. We're not going to cook. We're not going to cook. We're going to go out, and we're going to have a nice dinner. It's a special day, and we're going to do it. And we did just that. We went out. It was wonderful. We got appetizers, desserts. It was wonderful. Got home that night, and I said, Barbara, it's been a great day. She said, Benny, it has been a great day. I said, you know, Barbara, I didn't forget, did I? She said, no, Benny, you didn't forget. She said, you know, Benny, I believe it's been the greatest Groundhog's Day I've ever experienced. Well, every day, ladies and gentlemen, every day is an important day. And I want to give you four reasons why every day is an important day. First of all, today, this very day, is a provided day. This is a provided day. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? It's a provided day. Well, look what the scripture says. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Do you realize the word made there is the very same word that he used in Genesis 1 and 2 when he was creating the world? It's God who makes the day. It's God who provides us with every day. I love what Joyce Meyer said. She said, every day is a gift from God. Every day is a gift from God. Learn to focus on the giver and enjoy the gift. Every day is a gift from God. Learn to focus on the giver and enjoy the gift. Bear Bryant was a great football coach at Alabama. By the way, this is the only thing we'll say about football today. When Bear Bryant passed, this was in his wallet. A copy of this is what Bear Bryant carried in his wallet. This is how it reads. This is the beginning of a new day. God has given me this day to use as I will. I can waste it or use it for good. But what I do today is important, because I'm exchanging a day of my life for it. Because I'm exchanging a day of my life for it. Life is just a minute. Only 60 seconds in it. Forced upon me, can't refuse it. Didn't seek it, but it's up to me to use it. I must suffer if I lose it. Give an account if I abuse it. Life is just a minute, but eternity is in it. I want you to realize something. That today is a provided day. Today is a day that God has given every one of us. But not only is today a provided day, but today is a present day. Notice what he said. This is the day. In the present tense. See, yesterday, it's history. Tomorrow, it's a mystery. Today is a gift. That's why we call it the present. Because today is a present day. This is the day. The psalmist was not looking back. The psalmist was not looking ahead. He said, this is the day. Now, let me share something. There's two reasons why many people are not going to enjoy today. Reason number one, they're haunted by yesterday. They're haunted by yesterday. They're living in the past. They're talking about that past relationship, that past hurt, that past situation. They're haunted by what happened in the past. Let me tell you something, folks. The past is kind of like driving a car. You've got those rearview mirrors. You've got that windshield out front. If you go to staring in those rearview mirrors, you're going to crash. You're going to crash. They were meant to glance in, but they were never meant to stare at. And when you go to staring back at the past, I'll promise you, it's going to destroy your life. Haunted by yesterday. Because, see, a lot of people can't get past guilt. Past guilt. See, here's what you got to understand. When we sin, we experience guilt. And guilt brings with it shame. And shame affects how we view ourselves. And a lot of people are controlled by past guilt. They can't get over that one thing that happened. And folks, let me tell you something. Shame on us. Because we'll judge somebody for 30 years over what they did in 30 minutes. And they're dealing with the guilt of all of that. You know, I was reading this week about the prodigal son. The prodigal. You remember, he left home. He started living a sinful life. He was in a good Christian family. But he went down to the Crystal Pistol and got with some lounge lizards. He went down there, the Bible says, and he started hanging around with harlots. The Bible says that this Jewish boy got so low that he ended up in the pig pen. That's how low this Jewish boy got. Now, you may have already known this. But I just found it out. I read in Luke 15, verse 20, that he decided one day, I'm going to go back to daddy's house. And the Bible says he arose and came to his father. But when he was a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion on him, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And I've read that for years. And I thought, I know why that was. He was missing his son. He'd been gone. So he ran to meet him. But I want you to know something. That wasn't totally true. Because during this culture, there was something called a kizaza. A kizaza. It was a part of the Jewish culture. And what would happen if a person shamed the family? If a person disrespected the family and they eventually decided to come home, the elders of that community would perform a kizaza. And when they saw that person a great way off, they would go to him and they would take a vase and they would break the vase at his feet. And they would say to him, "You've broken relationship with the community. You've broken relationship with your family. You've broken relationship with your father. Shame on you. Shame on you. Shame on you." And then they would stone him and kill him or her. A kizaza. The father knew about a kizaza. So he was watching for that boy. And when he was a great way off, he ran to his boy. He ran to his boy because he said, "They're not going to shame him. I want him to know he's welcome to come back home. I want him to know no matter what he's done, no matter what he's done, I still love him. I want him to know no matter how bad he's messed up, he's still my child. I want him to know that no matter what, I still have mercy toward him." Now wait, it doesn't end there. Remember I said they would go to that boy and they would say, "Shame on you. Shame on you." Well, you got to understand something. It was a shame and disgrace for an older man to run in the Bible. It was a shame and disgrace for an older man to show his legs in the Bible. But this father raised up that tunic and he started running as fast as he could. And you know what he said? "Son, not shame on you, but shame on me. I want you to know I've taken your shame. I've taken your guilt. I've taken your humiliation." I want you to know something, folks, today. God has taken our guilt. God has taken our shame. God has taken our humiliation. And he placed it on himself on the cross. Understand something. You don't have to be haunted by past guilt. Jesus didn't come to rub your sins in. He came to rub them out. And then there's people not only haunted by past sin, but they're haunted by past glory. You say, "What are you talking about, Brother Benny? Past glory." There was a baseball pitcher. He retired from baseball. And after he retired, he didn't know how to function in life. Baseball was his identity. And finally somebody said to him, "What do you think's going on?" He said, "Well, I thought I was gripping the ball, but the ball was gripping me." See, a lot of people, they're haunted by past glory. They're 60 years old, but they're talking about when they ran the football in high school. "I know, ma'am, you were a cheerleader and you were a homecoming queen, but you're 57. Get over yourself. Get past yourself. Quit talking about the glory days. Quit talking about what you used to do. Quit talking about what size you were. You're haunted by the past. You're still living in past guilt. You're still living in past glory. I know how successful you used to be, but get over it." You say, are you talking to me? If your phone's ringing, pick it up. They're haunted by the past. Past guilt. Past glory. But let me tell you another one. Past grudges. Past grudges. We hold on to it. You hear me clearly? Here. It matters not what's happened to you. The only way you're going to have peace in your life is to totally forgive. It matters not what's happened to you. Listen to me closely. The only way you're going to have peace is to totally forgive. Now get this. Forgiveness is not a feeling. Forgiveness is a decision. It's a decision that you make. Now, I want you to understand something. There was a man in the Bible named Joseph. His brothers sold him as a slave. That's pretty bad. They sold him. And in Genesis 45, chapter 45, he forgave his brothers. He said, guys, I forgive you. God had a plan. I forgive you. Now wait, in Genesis 50, their daddy, the boys who sold him, and Joseph, their dad dies. His name was Jacob. And the boys said, oh my goodness, he's going to get even with us now. It's come back up, what we did to him. And in Genesis 50, Joseph said, no. He started crying. He said, you don't understand. It has come back up. But I made a decision to forgive. And you're still forgiven. Now listen, we try to super spiritualize things. But I want you to get this. If somebody has done you wrong, you make a decision to forgive them. Wait. It will come back up. It will come back up. It will surface again. But you have to say to yourself, no, I made a decision to forgive. It has nothing to do with how I feel right now. It has to do with the decision that I made. A guy had a scrawled look on his face, a painful look. He was sitting on a bench. And a man walks by, and he says, sir, I can see you're in excruciating pain. What's going on? He said, I'm sitting on a wasp. He said, well, why don't you get up? He said, because I think I'm hurting him worse than he's hurting me. Come up real close. We think when we don't forgive, we're hurting them. But we're hurting ourselves. You say, Pastor, is this something you've battled? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is this something, Brother Benny, that you've struggled with? Uh-huh. Really have. Uh-huh. Worse than some of you know. But you have to make that decision. And then when it resurfaces, say, no, I made a decision to forgive. And you say, Pastor, what has helped you to forgive? I'll tell you what's helped me to forgive. This is the verse, Ephesians 4 and 32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Many times in my life, I've thought they don't deserve to be forgiven. And then God will say to me, but you didn't deserve to be forgiven. And I've forgiven you over and over and over and over. See, it's a present day, but many people are haunted by yesterday or wait. Or they have a heaviness over tomorrow. A heaviness over tomorrow. You say, Pastor, listen to this. If Jesus said something one time, whew, that's enough. If Jesus says it one time, that's enough. But what about when he says something three times? In Matthew 6:25, Matthew 6:31, and Matthew 6:34, you know what he said? Don't you worry about tomorrow. Don't you worry about tomorrow. Don't you worry about tomorrow. Now, let me say something. In light of that, folks, he said, don't worry about tomorrow. In light of that, we shouldn't be dominated by COVID. Now, this is all I'm going to say. I'm not picking on anybody, but I want you to hear me and hear me clearly. But you hear me and hear me clearly concerning everything that's going on. I am not going to die until I'm dead. And I'm going to live life to the fullest while I'm alive. Because if you're not living on the edge, you're taking up too much space anyway. Amen? Somebody says, Pastor Benny, I don't want to go out on a limb. Well, most of you have not even got up the tree. Don't worry about tomorrow. Hey, I've got a news flash. After the election on November the 4th. You listen. Because I'm making a prophecy right now. No. I'm making a prophecy that's 100% you can mortgage the bank on. And I know you want to hear it. Let me tell you something. On November the 4th, Jesus will still be on the throne. Now listen, I'm going to go vote. But listen, I'm not going to be controlled by it. Folks. Our hope is in Jesus. You said, Pastor, what? Have you got through all this? Have you lived life to the fullest? I'll tell you my verse. It's Psalms 34:4. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all of my fears. I want you to know something. By the way, I'm immutable until God's ready for me. And you are too. Now, don't do stupid stuff. Don't run around and lick doorknobs. Don't do stupid stuff. But don't live your life in fear. We're not people of fear. We're people of faith. You said, wait, Pastor, you've told me all this. This is good. How on earth can I possibly do this? How can I do what you're preaching about? Here's what I want you to do. When you leave the sanctuary today, look for birds. You're saying, you got to be crazy. This guy's got a doctorate, and this is what he gives us. That's what the Bible says. Look what Matthew 6:26 says. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet the heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Let me tell you something. If God's going to take care of the birds. You know, sometimes people say, oh, she eats like a bird. Get this. A bird will eat 2 to 3 times its weight in food every day. 2 to 3 times its weight in food every day. I'm just saying, folks, if God's going to take care of the bird, he's going to take care of you. If God's going to take care of the bird, he's going to take care of you. You don't have to be scared to death. The teacher said, Johnny, how much is 3/4 of 5/16? He said, I don't know, but I don't think it's enough to worry about. Now wait. Today, I'm not going to worry about it, folks. I'm going to trust God. I'm not going to live in fear. I'm going to live in faith, and I'm going to trust the Lord. I got a letter last night. I just opened it. I didn't even just see it. I don't know why it was sent to me. And they said, you know, there's guys out here that are having church. It wasn't even sent to me. They said there's a guy named John MacArthur in California that's having church. And then it said there's a guy in Georgia, Benny Tate, that's having church. Hey, and I'm just going to tell you what I've told our governor. I love our governor, but I'm going to tell you something. My days of shutting down are over. Listen, we're too close to the end of time for Benny Tate to be hovered up in a basement. I'm going to reach people for Jesus Christ. Today is a provided day. Today is a present day. I've got to move. Today is a providential day. Look what it says. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it. Here's what I want you to see. What do you mean it's a providential day? When they built the wall around Jerusalem and they dedicated the wall, you can study it. They sang Psalms 118, verse 24. This is the day that the Lord had made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. But get this. That was a great occasion, but I want you to understand something. On the night of the Passover meal, when Jesus washed his disciples' feet and they celebrated Passover, and then he went to the cross, the Bible says in Matthew that they sang a hymn. What was the Passover scriptures that they sang was Psalms 113 through Psalms 118. So what you don't understand is right before Jesus went to the cross, he sang those words, "This is the day that the Lord hath made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it." Here's the message for us. Whether it's good or whether it's bad, this is the day that the Lord hath made. We're to rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We're to rejoice and be glad in it. Lastly, today is a passing day. Today is a passing day. You know, I'm 55 years old. I'll be 56 November the 9th if you want to write it down. But you know the person who said that life is like a roll of toilet paper? They were correct. Because it does come off faster as you get to the end of the roll. Amen? James 4:14 says, "What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then it vanisheth away." All I'm going to say, team, is today's a passing day. Today's a passing day. We need to know that we're right with God. Yesterday, I preached a funeral. Not COVID. I want you to understand. I've preached two COVID funerals. They were both in their 80s with pre-existing conditions. I love both of them deeply, by the way. So I'm not speaking a lot of it. Preached a funeral yesterday, 53. Preach one this Tuesday, 44 years old. Little 10-year-old child, she's leaving. 44. I'll meet with the family today. You say, "Pastor Benny, you're trying to scare us." Now, let me tell you something. If I could, I would. I'd like to just shake you to realize this thing's wrapping up. This thing's wrapping up. The Bible says during the end you'll have pestilences. It's happening. The Bible says during the end there'll be a spirit of lawlessness. A spirit of lawlessness. It's happening. Recently, the president orchestrated two peace deals with Israel. What? Good. Good. But look, when they say peace, peace, then come of sudden destruction. You think it's time to get on the sidelines? God help us, this thing's wrapping up. But look, folks, should he not come, he may call for you. Too busy to read the Bible, too busy to wait and pray, too busy to speak out kindly to someone by the way, too busy to care and struggle to think of life to come, too busy building mansions to plan for the heavenly home, too busy to help a brother who faces the winter blast, too busy to share his burden when self in the balance is cast, too busy for all that is holy on earth beneath the sky, too busy to serve the master, but not a one of us too busy to die. I started the message out by saying, do you know what today is? And I want to tell you, God's going to answer that. Today is the day of salvation. I'll tell you what today is. Today can be the greatest day of your life because today can be the day of salvation. Today can be the day of salvation. Look at this verse. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Look, today, will you hear my voice? What is his voice, Brother Benny? It's when you feel uncomfortable. It's when something's stirring deep inside. When you start thinking about, I don't know that I'm right with God. I don't fully understand everything that preacher's talking about, but there's something missing in my life. Get this, folks. And I wouldn't linger if this wasn't so serious. But look what he says. Harden not your heart. You know what that means? That means when God deals with your heart and God deals with my heart, we can say no. And that old heart gets harder. And it gets easier to say no. That's why when you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Don't harden your heart. Be receptive to it. Today is a passing day. We want to know that we're right with God. What gets me up every morning, what gets me in this pulpit? You say, Pastor Benny, it's a big crowd. Get real. I started here with 25 people. What wakes me up every morning is to know people need the gospel. People need Jesus because eternity's too long.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer, you repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that you died for my sin, and I confess my sin to you right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling. He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.